Well, we're going to do a show about longevity. And I've been looking at, you know, my good part of my life, not because I'm getting older, but looking at how people stay healthy. And I'm really a believer in natural health, but not just taking natural products, but it's an overall picture. And I think some people see the whole thing and some others, you know, I have a chiropractor and he believes kind of body, mind, spirit. And I know other people that are into that, but they kind of come a little bit short when it comes to understanding that there are energy healers that can actually help us as well. So I'm willing to look at everything. And they had a program on just the other day, NBC News. No, it was CBS News. They were covering three people, maybe it was four. Carl Reiner was in his 90s. Also, you have Mel Brooks, who just turned 90 or is 90 years old. And then they have Dick Van Dyke. And Dick Van Dyke has got to be pushing 90. And they all look really good. And they all revealed their secret to living longer. And I also noticed, remember George Burns? He was 100 years old. Remember Bob Hope? I think he made it into his 90s. These are all comedians. Now, you look at the comedians of today, they don't live that long. So what is the difference between these individuals, especially when you look at Reiner and you look at Mel Brooks and Dick Van Dyke? I don't know about Bob Hope as much. I know, you know, when I think of George Burns, they all were people that can laugh at themselves, for one. You know, they did comedy, they made fun of others, but not in a mean way. So they weren't sarcastic like a lot of the comedians are of today. And they also could be the butt of a joke. And it seems like people's egos today are so enormous, they can't allow themselves to be made fun of. And in a nice way, not in a way that's going to hurt their feelings. And I think it's good if you can laugh at yourself. I'm not saying that you should put yourself down, but if you can laugh at yourself, I've done that my whole career in radio and then also being a mobile DJ. You got to learn to roll with the punches and not take yourself too seriously. And I think it's a great gift, because when you don't take yourself too seriously, you don't get too caught up in your ego. So to me, these guys are saying you got to be able to laugh at yourself, which I agree 100%. They would know. They're 90 or older. They also said, yeah, you have to watch a bit of what you eat, but you have to also, they think was very important, love what you do. If you have a purpose, and I've heard this before, and I've noticed this, people that get older, the minute they quit their job, if they don't have something to do, they die. And this has happened time and again. We've seen that. So if they're people that find things to do and enjoy life, hell, having a purpose is always going to, it seems like, keep us going. How many people have you known or seen that did something and then when it was done, boom, that was it. It was over. And so that tells me something, that we really are keeping ourselves alive just by sometimes working. The sad news is we work and then we don't get to enjoy life sometimes. But I know it's part of a bigger plan. So what else did these gentlemen say? They were talking about having loved ones that you can rely on, although some of them are bachelors, but still they said it was nice to have somebody else that had your back. You know, there's evidence that supports, I truly believe, that if you're sick and you have family members or people that care around you in the hospital, you have a much greater chance of surviving. And it's only because you know you're loved. And love is the healing force in all of this. And really, the magic potion in everything we do. I truly believe that. And the more we focus on love. Now, these guys also said, which God, I really think is so important. Thank you to those wonderful gentlemen. They said, you have to let go. You have to let go of things. And I think this is the number one thing that affects all of us, that ages us, that makes us unhealthy. A lot of people believe it's the foods we eat, the toxins in our environment, and that all contributes. But ultimately, our attitude in life and learning that we can't hold on to things forever. Or if somebody says something that offends us, we have to realize that down the road, none of it's going to matter. And sometimes I'll get a little riled up when I, you know, somebody does something like that. Not even so much to me, but to others that I really care about. And then I realize after a day or two, I get back to, okay, I forgive them. And I love that you know, they're a divine being on the inside. Not so much on the outside. Sometimes you like to kick that backside of that outside. There's a guy right now that is making life difficult for some people I really love. And he's being obnoxious and he's being a bully. And they're much older. And, you know, you learn that you got to stand up to these people, but it has to be done with grace. This is my great lesson as well, because at first I had some pretty nasty thoughts. Mr. Gentle TJ had some pretty nasty thoughts. But now as I'm thinking about it and make a little peace with it, I realize we'll just get the truth on this situation. If we have to do some kind of research, it's about land. And this one guy's not being very nice about it. So we'll do the research and we'll get a title search. And if it proves that he owns this little piece of land, then he can have it and do what he wants. But if he doesn't, he's going to stop making threats about doing things. And that's what that's all about. And you just hate to see others. But I also know it's part of their journey. You can't always step in and do things for others. They have to find out for themselves. And they also have to learn to let go as well. And I think the hard part for most of us is that we think that if you're easygoing, people are going to walk all over you. And that's true. But that doesn't mean you have to take it. You can stand up and you can hold your ground a little bit. And just because you don't raise your voice doesn't mean you can't be firm and tell people, no, I don't appreciate that, and you're not going to do that. And if worse comes to worse, you walk away from it. That's a hard lesson for me to learn because I'm an emotional person. And most people I know, you know, and I let a lot of things go, and then it's like, oh, okay. So those are things that I know are teaching me, and my health is going to be better. You know, when I'm in a happy mood and peaceful, you know, they said you should live. These individuals, these gentlemen, these elderly gentlemen, which they're really not, you know, their soul is eternal. And I think age is really a myth. Someday we're going to understand that, and we'll live much longer or maybe indefinitely. But until we completely know how to tap into that, that greater consciousness that would allow us to live indefinitely, obviously there comes a certain point. But as I get older, I realize when I hold on to negative energy, it really affects my body. I am just wiped out. I'm drained. I'm feeling sore. Sometimes when I'm filled with joy, I feel great. And to prove that, when I go to the chiropractor and I've been maybe stressed out by some things at work, he will find several places that he needs to adjust in my back. But when I'm at peace and I'm filled with joy, he'll say, well, you're doing great. You must be doing something right. Just keep doing that. And so I know that that's a huge part, if not mostly. There are books that have said, and people that have told me this, and authors who believe that 90%, if not almost 100%, of everything that happens to us as far as the health of our body is brought on by our thoughts and emotions and our attitudes. 90%. And I had a friend of mine who had cancer, and she beat it by taking natural products. And that's after she tried conventional medicine. And conventional medicine nearly killed her. So she took this natural product. And the product, the company is Manitec. Now, I'm not making, you know, I've mentioned it before. You can never come out and say, well, this is 100% guaranteed. You're gonna put yourself in trouble. But I witnessed her recover. Well, I didn't witness, but she told me how she recovered. Her sister confirmed the story. But she told me, she said, TJ, 90% of it is mental. 90%. And she had terminal cancer. And she said, and I had to change and remove people from my life that were negative and causing me harm. And I've heard that time and again. Lorraine Day. I don't know if you're familiar with Lorraine Day. Google her. She got a tumor that grew to the size of a grapefruit right in the middle of her chest. And she went and decided to heal herself by, she said, basically eating everything in her yard that she could find that was healthy. So it was completely natural. And it took months, but the tumor eventually shrank and it went away. And she's, to this day, I'm guessing she's still around and she's healthy, because that was years ago that I read about her. And she really, and she was a doctor in San Francisco. It was a hospital in San Francisco, and I know she was fairly high up, and she worked long days, stressful long days. She said that had a lot to do with it, 20-hour days sometimes. but also part of it was due to, you know, obviously the attitude and how we condition ourselves mentally. And I look at it this way. It seems rather simple. And I know I don't operate always this way. And I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. When we're in a state of love is when we're at our healthiest. And things are going to go so much better for us, not only with our health, but everything in general. And to me, that state of love is joy. If I had to pick one word, it's just pure joy. When you're in a state of great joy and it just emanates from you and you pour it out towards others, everybody you meet, that to me is the state we're meant to be in. And the more we get into that state, the healthier we'll be, the longer I think we'll live, and also, you know, we'll have an effect on everything around us. And that's, to me, that's what we are. That's our true state. I've had those experiences where my loved ones have come back to me, and both my father and mother, and that when they visited me, which was more than just a dream, it was a definite visitation. The only two times, well, it actually happened to me three times, but I felt this wave of love, and it just was for a moment from both of them. And it's only happened, I mean, it's been rare, and I know both of these were visitations, and it went right through me. And the best way I could describe that love on the other side was joy, just pure, pure joy. So my theory is that God is pure joy, and anything else that people want to lay on God is not accurate, in my opinion. He's just pure joy, pure love. He loves his creation. And, you know, some of you will say, well, doesn't he judge them and punish them? It's like, no, I don't think he has to. I think the way he's lined things up is that he created these universal laws of karma, cause and effect, law of attraction. So if you're in balance with these laws, everything goes swell. And it's when you get out of balance that things will happen. And your body, when it's in balance, which is mean filled with love and joy, will be healthy. And when it's not, I think that's where disease comes from. And you can disagree all you want. Tell me your opinion. I have no problem with that, but I've just seen it over and over again, and I've seen it with myself, and I've felt that wave of love, which most people may never feel in their lifetime, unless you have a near-death experience. People that have near-death experiences have said they felt this incredible love, and they didn't want to come back. And that's the same way I felt with just that brief moment, this love that I didn't want it to go away from my father and my mother. Now, I'm guessing some of you know the story about them, so I don't want to go into long detail about either one of them. But, you know, my father passed away in 84, and he came back to visit me in 96. And it's just like I knew he wanted to do that, and I meditated on him one night. And I decided... Well, I didn't really decide anything. I just, as something made me contact him. And so I remember reading in a book if you want to try to contact somebody in spirit, one of the easiest ways is as you're falling asleep, just repeat their name, repeat their name, repeat their name, and say that you want to have contact. I think you have to have an intention. You know, even health is intention, and communicating with spirit is intention. So my father showed up, and he was surrounded by light, and he was filled with love. And my dad was not necessarily like that when he was alive. At times, he was kind of not always super nice. And because when he drank, he got a bit mean, and he did a lot of drinking. And never that it was horrible, but it was just very uncomfortable. Actually, it made life very difficult for me. I had a lot of things to overcome, and so did, you know, my brother. So how I knew this was not a dream and it was a visitation is that he's surrounded by white light. It's very vivid. If you've ever had this happen, you'll know the difference. And this wave of love shot through me. I didn't even see it. I felt it. It's like a wave of love that went right through me. And it's the most powerful love I cannot describe other than incredible joy, pure love, pure compassion, kindness, all of that. And that's what I think we are when we return home. We return to God because that's what God is. And the reason I know that this is real, and you may say, oh, I don't know, when I woke up, because I asked my dad, I knew it was coming to an end. I asked my dad, I said, if I ever want to see you again, what do I do? And he said, just think of me and I'll be there. And this is 1996. And when he said, just think of me and I'll be there, my radio kicked on. And the song on the radio was, I'll Be There. and it's not the Jackson 5. It was that one band, Escape Club. And this came out in 1991. And the song was called I'll Be There. And the lyrics were just, I may have died. I've gone nowhere. Just think of me and I'll be there. I always loved that song when it came out. To me, it was just such a beautiful song. And the fact that it was playing when I woke up, the odds are pretty slim. And, you know, I went back and I looked at that and did some research. And I realized it was a song from 91 that made it an oldie. Anything over a couple of years would be an oldie. Oldies probably come up one every 4 or 5 days. So the fact that it came up at that time of the night, and it was like a Wednesday night or something, because I would go to bed, you know, I'd take a nap at 3, and I'd set my alarm to go off at 6 so I could wake up and go have dinner with my girlfriend. And the alarm kicked on, and that song's playing. And I read a story about Trevor Steele. I believe it's Trevor Steele is his name. He is the front man, singer for the band The Escape Club. And what was kind of neat about it is that he said they wanted to write a song. They were working, I think it was out in California or somewhere. They were on tour. And they were getting pressure from the record company to stop producing rock songs or upbeat songs. Their big song was Wild Wild West, and they had some other ones. So their next song was going to be a ballad or something softer. And they also wanted to write a song for a friend. They have a good friend, and his wife died at a young age. And they wanted to write something for deeper from the heart. And I really believe these guys were inspired from another place. You know, we tap into inspiration from a higher dimension, and it's all connected to one thing, right? And so he said he wrote these lyrics while the rest of the bandmates were out partying. He stayed behind, and he wrote these lyrics. And he put the lyrics on the table. And the other man who was involved in doing a lot of the work, I don't remember the guy's name, but he came back, and he looked at the table, and he saw the notes, and he said there was a light shining on them. Now, he didn't know how there could be a light shining on them, but it was kind of weird, like there were these incredible... And they were. If you listen to that song, I get chills just thinking about it. I think it's the most amazing thing there is. And I find that there's something unique. And it's just you. Every so often you'll get these songs that are deeper songs, and they have this power to move you. And what is it that is in within that music? What did somebody reach into? So I feel that there are things out there that have been placed in front of us, that we all have the ability to tap into. And if we do that, and Allison just walked in while I'm doing my show. Just say hi to everybody if you don't mind, Allison.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, let me turn the mic on if you don't mind. This is my podcast. Do you want to be on and just say hello?
Certainly. That would be great. Hello, everybody.
For some
everybody.
Reason, I'm not getting you because that is, can you jiggle the end of it, please?
The cord area?
Let me just, okay, hang on, everybody. This happened yesterday.
Oh. Check, check.
Try it again, please.
Hello.
There you are.
All right.
Maybe hello, it was everyone. Working all along. Maybe I just didn't realize it. So I was talking about longevity, and I was just doing a short show till you came in to work with me. You just started working here at the radio station?
I did.
And you're from this area as well, right?
I am originally from the Garden Peninsula.
People listening could be listening in China. They're going, where's that? Well, it's in the United States.
Yes.
And so I was talking about a story about longevity. They had these three comedians on TV yesterday morning. And it was Dick Van Dyke and it was Mel Brooks. I don't know if you know those people.
I know Dick Van Dyke.
And the other one was Carl Reiner. And they're all really good-natured guys. And they're all kind of joyful, happy, easygoing. They can make fun of themselves. They came from a time period where you didn't take yourself too seriously. And they're all over 90.
Oh,
and okay. So I was trying to draw the correlation of the right attitude in life makes a huge difference if you want to be healthy and if you want to live longer. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not.
Oh, it makes all the difference. Absolutely.
And you sure you don't mind being on this strange show?
No, that's totally fine. I'm excited. Happy to be here.
It's called Out There. So I was telling this story about my father and how, and I probably told you that because I talk a lot, right? how he came to me and that song played and everything.
Yes. Yep. I have heard that story.
So that's what I was getting into right now. And it was just my way of saying the joy that I felt from him, this pure love, joy, mm-hmm. is what I think exists in all of us. And the more we tap into that, the more I think healthier we are, because that's what we're intended to be. And it's when things take us away from that joy mm-hmm. that we get sick or our bodies die, or, you know.
Yes.
So that's, you know, that's what I noticed in those guys. They're all joyful and happy. And they said you need to have an attitude of letting things go, not taking things too personally, having loved ones around you, and also having joy. And, you know, they bring joy to others and themselves. Mm-hmm. And so to me, those are the key factors. I just thought it was refreshing to see that. And then I was talking about that song, I'll Be There, which is the song was done by the Escape Club. And I said, you know, there's music out there in the universe, it seems like, that you can tap into. And it raises your vibration. It raises your heart. Every time I hear that song, it lifts me up. Just the words of it. I'm sure, is there any songs that you can think of off the top of your head that maybe make you feel that way?
That, oh goodness, there are so many. I love music, so I have a tendency to connect with a lot of different songs. Especially.
Is there anything that just stands out to you that you go, wow, that really lifts my heart? Really? You can think of, like, you know, for some people might say Amazing Grace or You Raise Me Up, and it's not necessarily a spiritual or religious one. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, there are songs that totally, when I hear them, there's a song by... it's called Return to Innocence. You ever hear of that song?
I have not.
It's kind of a new age song.
Oh, all right. All right.
But it's really talking about who we are, returning to our inner self, our innocence. And that, to me, is what lifts my spirit when I hear those things and raise my vibration. So music comes from another realm. And I believe we can tap into, you know, some of the great ones like Beethoven. Yeah. They were able to reach into a place and pull this music from the heavens. And there's more than one person that said, this music is so well written and so well done that it can actually heal you if you listen to it. And I read that in an article recently, that the author was claiming, if you listen to Ode to Joy, are you familiar with Beethoven's Ode to Joy?
Yes, yes.
And it's one of my favorite. I just like the feeling that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
And but they said, you know, if you listen to the version that has an orchestra, which I'm going to attach to my website, he said, if you listen to this every day, you could find yourself in a much better place after a period of time.
Now, TJ, do you think that's because they all knew the secret?
Oh, did you watch The Secret?
I watched half of it, actually, last night. So I dipped in a little bit, and phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear you like it. That's maybe for another show.
There we go. New topic.
We've talked about The Secret before, I'm sure, or at the Law of Attraction is really what we've talked about. We've channeled it on this show and everything. And you know, The Secret that I gave you, she just started working, and we started having these conversations, and it's like, okay, you want to watch? Yeah, sure, blah, blah, blah. So did you know The Secret was channeled by, there's a woman, I don't know if she's on that version you have, there's a woman who communicated with a spirit called Abraham. And Abraham is this, and maybe this is stuff you don't, I don't know if you're into, Allison, but this is how I know about it. And I didn't know about it when I got that, but then I found out later, because there's so much wisdom, it seems like there. It has to come from a higher place.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have all those people on there that are saying incredible things, but also, I can't think of the lady's name, but she is connected to this entity, and some people are afraid of that word entity. Don't be afraid of entity. It's a collection of souls that are on a journey. It's basically what it is. And they're higher souls. They're in a higher dimension. And they go by the name of Abraham. And it could be like 1,000 souls. And so she talks to them. And they communicate through her, either through her voice. When you're a channel, you step aside and you let something come through you. Or people do automatic writing. Have you heard of automatic writing?
I have not.
Where you, again, step aside and all of a sudden you just start writing things down on paper. People do that, and they communicate, and they've written books like that. So Abraham is on a much higher level, and he explains as you saw. And what is that about, the law of attraction?
The law of attraction.
What did you take away from watching part of that?
Well, some of it kind of solidified what we had talked about over the past week now. And it's, you are what you think about all day long. Yeah. Absolutely. And the universe will actually send that right back to you if you focus and you visualize enough what you want in your life.
And you know, since this show is about longevity, you are what you think about when it comes to that too, right?
Exactly.
So if you want to have a happy, healthier life, a better chance of it, it's whatever we focus on. And we get so distracted from all the things that are around us. And I told you, I felt it was deliberate. There are those that want us to be distracted. They don't want us to recognize who we are. And that's just part of what goes on here. I don't blame anyone. That's part of what this planet is and has been for a long time. But if you truly want to lift out of the fog, did you feel like you lifted in any way after you watched that? Did things open up for you?
I would definitely say so. It was, and you have to keep in mind, this was right before I went to bed.
Right.
So not only did I take this in, but I was able to sleep immediately after it. And I was able to keep it in my mind, which is really important. One thing that I've learned, if you really want to learn something, take a nap immediately
afterwards.
You watch or you experience something.
Absolutely.
So it really did. I was very surprised. And something that also really moved me by it was the amount of eye contact that these people in these interviews have with you during the entire movie.
Mm.
And it'll blow you away. If you haven't had the opportunity to go out and see a version of The Secret yet, I highly recommend doing
it. It's really
so.
Not a movie, is it? It's more
no,
like a documentary.
It's completely a documentary, definitely.
Yeah.
Collection of intelligent thinkers.
People that have been very successful, and a lot of them had very difficult lives. I don't know if you saw that.
Yep.
And they were all down and out at one time. And I remember one of them said, I think it was the guy from Chicken Soup. I really like him. And you can just tell he's a gentle soul. And he said, well, I had this problem. I was homeless. He goes, so what? And I thought, if more people, I'm not making light of people's problems, but if we make such a big deal out of them, then we're going to get more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're never going to lift out of it.
Right.
And it's not meant to be, not have empathy.
Right.
It's meant to take accountability. If we truly are the masters of our own destiny, then instead of, we all want to feel sorry for somebody.
Of course.
But it's like, I'm learning and I've learned that's good at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, you kind of got to say, well, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Exactly.
Unless you want to continue to go that route, that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to be a part of that.
No, and I think a lot of people focus, like you had mentioned, on the things that have happened in the past. And that is exactly what it is. It is your past. What is happening right now is your past. You have every chance in the world to make a different decision in your life and change your future. Most people get way too caught up in the idea that things were bad, while things do not currently have to be bad.
And like you and I talked also, and I don't know where you stand up, be as honest as you want.
Okay.
But I believe we choose a lot of these things in order to learn great lessons. So bad things will happen and we'll go, well, this is horrible. God, why'd you do that? And it's like, I'm taking full accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I picked this. It makes perfect sense to me. How else would I learn? And I also believe it's one of two things. We either choose it before we come here or we draw it in with the law of attraction.
Right.
And then, like you said, you were born into a family where certain things happen. And we won't go into that. But sometimes it's like we need to, what I witnessed with my own family and then also others that I've talked to, sometimes we're there to break the cycle. There might have been a cycle of certain things going on. And I think we always have an opportunity because each one of us has ancestors, and I believe, you know, it goes back obviously the beginning of whenever it started, and every lifetime that those people lived before us, people say, you know, it's recorded in our genes, and I say, I don't believe so. I believe it's recorded in our cells, and our cells have memory, so they remember the good times, the bad times, the struggles, the things we held on to, and those cells are passed on to the next generation, and the next one, and the next one. So some people believe you're carrying how many ancestors' things. But I think after a while, it kind of fades out.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go back and worry about, you know, several generations ago that my great-great-great-great-grandfather was an axe murderer. I'm not going to worry about
right,
that.
Right, right.
But I think there is some truth to that. Mm-hmm. And it's stuff we can let go of. And I think a lot of it is as easy as just asking it to take it away. Yeah. Now, did you do any more of that? Do you want to share your Michael story at all?
I would love to, actually. That was pretty crazy. Initially, when I came aboard onto this company, it was like I was searching for some sort of an answer or a direction for my life. I've had a lot of baggage in the past, and like TJ mentioned, it's important to know when to let go and to learn how to let go. So I've been having night terrors my entire life.
Wow.
And it's just been to the point where I'm missing sleep. It's time to do something. There needs to be a solution to this problem. So we had a conversation the other day, and TJ introduced me to Michael Archangel and told me some of the experiences that he had had previously and that his wife has had in the past. And it really blew me away. Something really resonated when he brought that up. So I figured, hey, you know what? I'll give it a shot. He informed me, you know, you have to let these people into your life. They don't just show up.
Unless it's to save you. Let's say you had a goal to live till you're 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And you're running down the road and something could hit you.
Yes.
They will step in then.
Okay. All right. All right. So that is the exception, definitely. But I did allow Michael, I spoke to him and I said, you know, listen, I need some help with this. I need to know that you are here with me tonight. Please be here, please, to show the light in what's going on in my head when I am sleeping. And I had asked him initially, you know, if you are truly here and you are listening, please give me a sign. And no sooner after I had said that, the alarm clock that I have on top of my microwave, actually in my kitchen, that I have not used in, I would say, at least a year, went off.
Wow.
And this is not an electric device.
And nobody could have said it.
No. Nope, not a single person. The only two people in the house at that time were myself and my 3-year-old son, and it's completely out of his reach, and it just blew me away. I couldn't believe it. And it wasn't like a continuous, you know, ding 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 ding. It was just ding ding. And then that was it. And things like that, I mean, people could take that and say, "Oh, it's a coincidence that that happened." You have to understand that I've not heard that device go off.
I've had
in
you
over
know,
a year.
I've had people tell me, you know, and the thing is, I'm such a believer now because, and I'm always open, and you do want to take a little bit of a skeptical approach, but mm-hmm. people have told me devices have turned on that weren't plugged in. Mm-hmm. People have told me that something that was broken started working. A good friend of mine, Jay, that passed away, and I told you about the chickadee and all that stuff. That's
yeah.
another story for another time, but his wife wanted to see, his widow wanted to see confirmation that he was there, and this cabinet that had a light in it that hadn't worked in 2 years, hadn't worked at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a short. After she said that, shortly after, the light came on. Now, oh, well, maybe the short. No,
mm-mm.
I don't believe that.
No.
I just don't believe that. You know, spirit has the ability to affect, first and foremost, electric things.
Yeah.
So if you have lights go out in your house, I mean, blow out. And I've had that happen when spirit's been around. Bulbs for and you know, bulbs are going to go out. I know that. But I had, when Jay visited me, my whole vanity, because it was on a circuit breaker, every light went out. And I thought, did I blow every light? And then I went downstairs and I checked the cabinet with the switches with a circuit breaker. And so, and that circuit breaker was blown. And it never happened again. And that's one thing. If it never happens again, that's another thing to look for, because that's telling you, hello, I'm mm-hmm. here. Do you
yeah.
believe me? And so I actually had two TVs go out and have to be repaired. One happened while the repairman was there fixing my old one. And I said to him, I think I got spirits in the house. No sooner than I said that, my TV, my backup little TV went out. And he goes, I think you do. And that was during the time when I told Jay to come visit, and I wouldn't be afraid if he wanted to send a message to family. And my TVs went out, my computer froze up on me like I've never seen it before, and since, and while I was writing some stuff about him, and just many, many, many things like that. So you had this experience and now you become a little more of a believer.
Oh, definitely. Definitely more aware, I've noticed, walking around, even, you know, being able to open up your mind a little bit more to the possibilities and what is actually out there.
And so how do you feel since before? Did you feel alone in a way?
I would say that, yeah.
And how do you feel now?
It's almost like a feeling of enlightenment.
Yeah. And you know you're not alone.
Yeah.
And maybe you know that you're truly loved.
Yeah.
And you know, it's easy for us. You grew up with what religion? Did you have a religion?
I went to a non-denominational Christian church. So just base belief
in God. So you were shown that.
Yes.
And some of it didn't sink in all completely.
It really didn't. As a teenager who's being forced to go to church when they don't want to, those things typically don't stick too well.
But some of the teaching stuck with you.
Yes, yes.
So you believe that there was a being, a supreme being?
Definitely. Whatever that higher power may be, I do believe that there is.
But you pulled away from the church because of, is there a reason?
Well, it's after being forced to go for so long, I felt confined.
Did you feel any of the teachings were not something you could connect with?
There was just so much judgment.
Yeah, that's what turned me off a lot about it.
Yeah.
And this, you know, what I know of love, you know, from the other side, my own experience and many, many, many other people, it's nothing but love. And people don't understand that. Well, how can it be just love? People need to be judged because we have all these laws that were set in place. So this loving being doesn't have to judge us, is the way I look at it. And it'll kind of correct us. It's like self-correction.
Yeah.
And, you know, many people describe when they passed away or had a near-death experience, but also people that have passed away and can remember back to the experience of what they go through before you move on. And so if you die today or pass away, and a lot of people will go see the light, go to the light, head into this tunnel, and then maybe be met by Jesus or a loved one or an angel. It could be many different things, depending on what you believe in. It almost like is what you believe in.
Yeah.
But after that, they'll go through what's called a life review. And what that is a, and many people, I'm not just saying this, lots of people have said that you will see everything in an instant that you ever did to anybody and they did to you, and the reaction, good and bad, of, you can feel their emotion, the joy you brought others, the anger, the hurt. And you don't need to be punished because when you see that and feel that, already, you know. And I think once we return to that next place, that state of what we are, then all this fake, which is not of love, melts away. And people, you think, well, they were a bad person in life. I bet you they're kind of a cranky person. And I say, nope, not when they truly get to that next place and get in, they're going to be a being of love.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to still have some of that personality. That doesn't go away. But it's going to be the most positive parts of them. Maybe you had a family member. Maybe you had a family member that was a little cranky.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
And they passed away. And they're still going to have maybe some of that humor, or sarcastic humor, or whatever. But the love, and, you know, there's different levels, I believe. So you could be at a level where there's still part of that there. But I think eventually, if you continue to climb up levels, like my mom, I told you about my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's just pure love now when she comes to me. And I was told a long time ago that loved ones can come back and be like an angel on your shoulder. And that's what I think my mom has chosen to do. I told you the story about, we've had these long conversations. We probably should be working. But she appeared to be open and she appeared to be a little lost. And so I guess I opened up to you about that. And you're glad now that.
Definitely. I'm very happy that you felt comfortable enough to share those things with me. I think you can develop connections on such a deep, real level when you do allow yourself to open
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. We get past our fear.
Definitely.
And we trust others. And I'm always trying to look for, with everybody I meet, you know, I don't want to force anything on anybody. I want to hear their stories. I just have a genuine interest. And I've had that since I was a kid. And I think that I've had a genuine love for others, which I pushed away and brought back because it wasn't cool as a guy to be sensitive like that and all that stuff. But I reconnected with that older in life because I just thought, I don't care if people think, well, he's kind of wimpy because he's got kind of a lovey-dovey attitude and he cares about others and sometimes a little emotion. It's like, I don't worry about that anymore. You get to a certain point where you just don't even, you know what you feel is right, and you're just going to live that way.
Yeah.
And I think we all should. But unfortunately, when you're a certain age.
No, yeah.
Especially for guys.
It can be hard.
It's not really cool to be, let's be a little bit tough over here. But I think your generation is breaking down those stereotypes a lot.
So. Yeah, I agree.
You know, if you're listening to Allison right now, and you probably think, wow, she's really wise, and she sounds very intelligent. She must be a little older. How old are you, if you don't mind?
I am 22.
She's a very enlightened, but you know, at soul level, there is no age.
No, no, gosh, no.
And if we've been around, I believe we've been around for, you know, I think God created us eons ago, all of us. We're not created at birth. Our souls have been around for eons. So if that's the case, then we're all the same, roughly the same, you know. And some of us have been to Earth many more times, so we're more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That explains at least to me why some people come here and they know their way around and they're at ease.
Yeah.
And other people are like,
And certainly the idea of, you know, our souls being created long ago, I've always felt like I've had an old soul. Always.
Yeah. And I would say this too.
Yeah.
And I'm pointing at her, I'm kind of excited. It's like, I feel that as well. And you know, people that are open-minded, I've always felt they're older souls because they've been around.
Yeah.
It's like anything in life. When you experience something more than once, you go, okay, it's not that big of a deal. At first, I was a little shocked.
Yep.
And then after a while, it's like, not a big deal.
Yeah.
So it's a joy to work with you. And I'm guessing maybe, you know, everything happens for a reason. So I'm guessing you came to hear this is not about work so much. It's about souls connecting. And not just with you. I connect with a lot of people, and I'm sure the same with you.
Oh, yeah.
But I think our journey was meant to...
Oh, I totally agree. 100%.
And, you know, I always believe, and I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but I really believe we're in a time when many of us are going to be stepping forward to bring greater awareness and love to this planet.
Yeah.
And so it's when I see somebody that I think is a part of that, I kind of reach out to, that they have this awareness. And your journey could be totally different, but I think a lot of people are choosing to be here now at this time because this is a great opportunity to help move humanity out of the dark ages and into the light. And I think that's where we're going. And what's your opinion on all that?
I agree. I mean, like you had mentioned before, with my age group, my demographic, millennials are bringing everything to light. We're questioning a lot of different things that people in previous generations may have not felt comfortable doing.
People have a stereotype of millennials.
Yeah.
And I, you know, some of it is true, but it's like with any group. You know, you can't pinpoint that.
Oh, yeah.
And why not ask a millennial?
Yeah, there you go. Any questions, please feel free.
And you know what I like about millennials, too, is that some people think you're lazy. I see a lot of hardworking ones. I see some lazy ones, but my generation had those too.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they're not afraid to speak their voice.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe they're misguided because there's a lot of things that misguide us. I'm misguided at times because I believe certain things and I trust them, you know. We all could be. But the fact that they have the courage to step up when even they could get hurt. Mm-hmm. And speak out. And you're seeing this all over the world.
Yeah.
So I believe, like I've talked about on this show before, each generation that comes forward in this dawning of this new age has more light. They have more wisdom. They are have more abilities, psychic, natural abilities, because they're being born into more and more light. And therefore, the brain, if that's the receiver and the transmitter, it's working better.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the signs of an enlightened being in the last 20, 30 years is somebody that's born with attention deficit disorder.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I've uncovered and learned. So if you have a child that is that way, society's going to say one thing.
Yeah.
But the truth I've uncovered is that it's a very gifted being.
Yeah.
And someday they will step up and perhaps be part of that difference.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the term crystal children?
I have not.
Or rainbow children.
Rainbow children sounds familiar.
And then there was the indigos. And these are terms that metaphysical, new age people use. And I can clearly see it. You know, the indigos were the ones that came here first. And this can go back to my age, my generation, and since, up till about 1980, somewhere in the 80s. and they were here to kind of break things up a little bit. And then the next ones to come were the Crystals, and those were very gentle, loving, completely loving kids, mm-hmm. you know? And they just were so aware and still are. And now, right now, we're getting a combination of what they say is rainbows and crystals. And the rainbows are a combination of all of it. They can see all of it clearly. So it just continues. You know, I meet kids like this. They're just so mm-hmm. filled with love. And I know kids are. Yeah. But we all kind of get soured a little bit at some point. Yeah. And they're just so compassionate, so generous, even through their teenage years. I see more and more of that going on. And maybe you don't. I don't know. But I see some of that as well. So I think as rough of a place as the world may appear to be, there's great changes going on that most of us probably aren't aware of, because we don't talk to others that are doing the same thing I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And you probably have never been exposed to a lot of this, Rob, right?
No, right, right.
And so I told you yesterday, I believe, that I know a lot of light workers, and they're all over the world, and it's amazing. And it's like the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. When you start believing that they're there, you start to meet those people.
Yeah.
And I've met so many of them, and I realize there are so many that see the same thing. Now, how can that be? Mm-hmm. And it's like they realize they're here for a reason. Do you feel like you're here for a reason?
Absolutely.
Other than to be just a mother or or have a job?
100%.
And what do you think that is?
I feel that, obviously, because I'm fairly comfortable being on mic and in front of people and things like that. And I'm not afraid to stand up for what's right. I think it's important that you have people out there that are comfortable doing that. I feel like my job is to provide kind of the megaphone for people who don't feel comfortable being comfortable with themselves, to let them know that it's okay and that there's nothing wrong and that there are other people out there that feel the same exact way. So I feel like my job is to be the person who holds the spotlight on somebody else.
You ever want to do your own podcast?
I would. I've actually considered that. I've been featured on a couple for a Disc Jockey News magazine. So I would be very interested, actually.
Maybe I can help you with that.
There we go.
Thank you for coming in today, Allison.
Yeah, not a problem.
I knew she was coming in to do an ad with me, and I thought, well, maybe I'll get a show and I'll squeeze it in. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring her in, and if she wants. And it's always your choice.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to push you too hard, right?
Right, right.
I allow you to free them to, because I really, you have to respect others. And so I thought she's going to be great at this if she wants to interact with me. So, but the show started about longevity, and we moved in many different directions. But I truly believe joy is what is the greatest thing, whether it's you want to live longer, just healthier, happier. And the more joy we bring to the planet, it reverberates.
Yeah.
And it's not even the fact that we're saying it to other people. Just living that gives off a vibration that affects everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm all in favor of that. I'm not always in that state of mind, but a good amount of time I am. And now that you're working here, maybe it'll be easier too.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.